Okay, hi everyone, and welcome back to our work on letters and occult meditation. We have finished with program five. I hope it's not program, yeah, and program six is what we're into now. And a new letter. Rather than timing these out in such a way that they're always an hour long or an hour and a half or two, I just stop at convenient places where a new subject is being taken up. And in this letter three, we have points considered, I suppose, by the master or the expert teacher when assigning meditation. So letter three, points to be considered: the ray of the ego or higher self. It's the same if that ray is on the higher mental plane or is one of the rays of the spiritual triad, especially the ray of the monastic permanent atom, which is also shared all the way up the triad in terms of those permanent atoms. Just check out, I think, page 168 and 169 of Esoteric Psychology, Volume 1. The ray of the personality or lower self, karmic condition of the threefold man, the condition of the causal body, the need of the period and the man's availability, and point six, the groups inner and outer with which he is affiliated. Will he know the inner group with which he is affiliated? We don't know that. But these are important points, and this is an important chapter, or letter, chapter. So let's see how he treats this. Now we're on page 14, points to be considered when assigning meditation. June 4th, next day, that was June 3rd. In the previous letter, or parts of it, we have dealt with the importance of meditation, and I have suggested for your consideration four reasons out of the many why the practice should be followed. At this period, when meditation is followed by many of you without the guidance of a teacher who is personally acquainted with you on the physical plane, it has been impossible to do more than formulate a plan for practice that carries in it the element of safety and of universality. Perhaps it doesn't deal so specifically with the details of the individual's life, but which can be applied to many. Those important aspects of meditation: the transference of polarization from one of the lower atoms to the higher, stabilization of the emotional and mental subplanes, or subplanes on the emotional and mental planes, bringing into equilibrium of the man and his energy system. Just to review, never hurts, and the ability to contact the ego and align the three lower bodies, not only within themselves, but with the ego on the higher mental plane, presumably at this point. More advanced meditation will take them to the take the meditator to the spiritual triad. Okay, and assigning meditation. That is a very important one because, the ray of the ego or the higher self, point one, point two, the ray of the personality or lower self, point three, karmic condition of the threefold man, point four, the condition of the causal body, point five, the need of the period and the man's availability, point six, the group's inner and outer with which he is affiliated. Okay. So there is no outer teacher here. DK will be, I think, one of the outer teachers, and then more specific work can be done. Right now, safety and universality, these are the two requirements that have to be met. There are many techniques given that are not safe and maybe cannot really consider these specifics. As a teacher who knew the student on the physical plane could do. When a teacher is on the spot, differentiated practice may be carried on suited to the temperament of the pupil and having certain attributes that make that particular meditation the line of least resistance from the physical brain of the personality to the causal body. Now, on the spot doesn't mean under the gun. It means available and immediately present and in a certain place where also the student is to be found, presumably on the physical plane. So much that is will be possible in the future has to be, for the moment, deferred. It's almost as if DK has this tightening circumference, a tightening perimeter, let's say, of a sphere, coming in, closing in, closing in. But still a little bit non-specific, safe and universal. So DK tells us what will be possible in the future, but so often no expert teacher is really on the same plane as the student. We don't have externalized masters, except maybe for certain kind of inner meetings, as he talks about Master Jesus and the prelates of the high church, maybe Episcopal, Catholic, that kind of thing. And as far as I know, DK did not appear in person, certainly not in tangible personhood to his students. Kutumi, Master Kutumi, did appear to Alice Bailey in tangible personhood one fine Sunday morning, I think, when the family was at church. But in general, the teacher is not on the spot at this time. So in general, the teacher is not on the spot. So then more differentiated and less universal practices can be carried on when the teacher is on the spot. And as far as a meditation which is tailored exactly to the needs of the student, we may have to wait yet a while for that. In formulating methods of meditation, certain factors must be taken into consideration. These factors I will now enumerate. I seek not to give you outlines and methods to be followed. I but indicate the underlying principles that guide the teacher in the choice of method suitable for the pupil. You know, we have to be so cautious. Some of us are teachers. We're certainly not high initiates. And we may be called upon to give a meditation to one of our students. We have to be really cautious because it has to be safe. And we're in no position to know all these specifics that a master can know. So restraint, humility, these are the watchwords for those of us who may find ourselves in the position of devising meditations. I seek not to give you outlines and methods to be followed. So DK is still in the somewhat amorphous stage here in the presentation of information. It's not going to be the kind of specific information that some of us might eagerly be looking forward to. Later, when the teacher comes, we're talking about the externalization of the hierarchy pretty much, and the scientific application of the method to the individual is being demonstrated, you can then see if the rules laid down here are fundamental or not. These fundamentals and principles are all I seek to give. Method and detail must be worked out through the use of discrimination, experience, courage, and perseverance. The mind has to be involved. We have to rely upon the wisdom we've garnered, our experience. We're venturing into new territories, and transitional dynamics may not be easy to handle, and we simply have to persist. Otherwise, we will not succeed. Okay. So, this was 100 years ago that this was written. Now, none of us was there then on the physical plane, unless we've lived to be 100. I don't know any in the group. Well, there was one person at Meditation Mount who lived to be 101 at least, something like that. But I don't know of anybody else. And then, of course, when you're so young, you can't exert these abilities, discrimination. You can't call upon your old experience. You're too young to do that. And courage and perseverance have to wait until a little bit later time. So much depends on how much we bring through from past lives. There are ways that rapid incarnation can be taken. And I think, well, it's something still to be determined, but that the content, basic content of the mental body and the emotional body can be preserved. And is that connected with the opening of the sixth petal, that kind of preservation? And the ability to return rapidly into incarnation? Perhaps, but it still needs to be ascertained. Okay. The factors which must be considered by a teacher when assigning a meditation are six in number if we deal only with the principal ones. Six is an interesting number. It's a shambolic number in one respect. It's an astral number in another, and has to do with the solar plexus and the sixth ray. But okay, six. That's what he says. And earlier, when he, I think he's given us four reasons why meditation should be followed. So I believe we had four in the previous little chapter. And six in this one. I guess what must emerge here is patience. I think once we awaken to the amazing possibilities that lie ahead, we will want rapid progress. But as Roberto Saggioli used to say or quote a Latin proverb, make haste slowly. So six is the number here of not just of reasons for meditation, but factors to be considered. Factors to be considered. And DK has to stick to the essentials here because there are probably many more. Well, the whole field of consciousness will begin to blossom in detail as we achieve higher and higher points of tension, and then we have to be selective about what we present. Sometimes we're told that the fifth ray has, which in its presentations lacks fire and point, as DK says, insists on giving you every tiny little step on the way from A to B or B to A. First ray will tell you directly, shortly, and fifth ray will note every little step along the way. So again, he repeats himself, the ray of the pupil's ego or higher self, the ray of his personality or lower self, the karmic, point three, the karmic conditions of the threefold lower nature. That's important, and one's karma will have to be looked up in relation to the new esoteric schools if one wishes to participate. The condition of his causal body, let's see what he has to say about that. Number five, the immediate need of the period and his availability, because need is a very determining factor. And then number six, the groups inner and outer with which he may be affiliated. So the master cannot be a casual cavalier about the assigning of meditation. The master or high initiate cannot be casual or cavalier about assigning meditation. It's caution all the way, really. And even those who are very brave and courageous live longer when the quality of caution is part of their approach to what courage and bravery demand. Okay, so we'll now take them up one by one. And here is the ray of the higher self. This is an interesting section, and it's one that I find I'm often quoting. Why should it be? I don't know, something fascinates me about this particular section. The ray on which a man's causal body is found, so, you know, and So indeed, we are talking about the ray of the ego, even though he's, you know, kind of spelling it in lowercase, it doesn't make any difference. The ray upon which, although on page 177, when he is talking about a ninefold choice of rays for the ego, he does use more caps. I don't know if it's all caps, but he does use at least one cap. I suppose we could go there and see Treatise on Cosmic Fire, and then we'd look at 177. Yeah, so here are these nine. This literally means that the three major rays can be subdivided into three divisions. The fact is also little appreciated. And I think he does say somewhere ninefold choice. Let's see if I can find it. Ninefold choice, let's see. Yeah, here again, well, it's right there. A ninefold choice of rays for the ego. Here it is. And if in case we're tired of that particular color being too dark, but very beautiful, we can do it this way. Here's the ninefold choice of rays for the ego. And ego is spelled with a capital E. And then elsewhere there, I don't know if I find it here, but spelling it out in all capitals, which would suggest something still higher. But sometimes it's just a question of how the editor does this, or whether the editor overlooks certain spelling or just doesn't pay attention to it. That's also a possibility. So here we are. So the ray of the higher self, the ray on which a man's causal body, or, you know, what can I say, egoic lotus is found, and the ninefold choice of rays of the ego are found on page 177 of Cosmic Fire. So the ray on which our causal body is found, the egoic ray, should determine the type of meditation. Let's say, you know, as I said, let us not bark up the wrong tree. We may not find the cat we're looking for. Each ray necessitates a different method of approach. For the aim of all meditation is union with the divine. The approach of inclusiveness is a major method for the second ray, and maybe accumulation for the third ray, and driving forward for the first ray, and the use of harmony of color and sound for the fourth ray, and a laser-like dynamic for the fifth, and a fiery dynamic for the Martian sixth ray, and maybe we'll see a mantric method for the seventh ray. When you look at mantrams, they have a lot to do with the second ray, but also with these words of power, you might say, that correlate with the seventh ray, a fixed form which always works. At this stage, it is union with the spiritual triad that has its lowest reflection on the mental plane. So this is interesting and important. You know, the question is, what is the ego? Is the ego the egoic lotus causal body, or is the ego the spiritual triad? So union with the higher ego or spiritual triad is reflected through union with the causal body or egoic lotus. So let me briefly illustrate. When the egoic ray is what is termed the power ray, will and power, the method of approach has to be by the application of the will in a dynamic form to the lower vehicles. I've certainly seen this. You know, these types, they can really drive their lower vehicles almost to the point of incapacitation. But they have to be wise in the driving they apply, otherwise destruction of the vehicle results and not the intended purpose. Application of the will to the, in a dynamic, a moving form to the lower vehicles. I have a first-ray wife. And I can tell you those hours of 5 and 6 a.m., having driven through the night, are the usual rather than the rare. Okay. It is largely what we term the achievement by an intense focusing, a terrific one-pointedness that inhibits all hindrances and literally forces the channel, thus driving itself into the triad. Now, that's really important. How do you reach the triad? Well, the antichoronic method is maybe three methods altogether. And whichever way the first ray ego or the sort of apparatus on the higher mental plane reaches the into the triad, this particular ray type drives itself into the triad. It just won't accept no for an answer. And this is sometimes called, you know, the taking of the kingdom of heaven by storm. Now, that can be with a first ray monad or first ray soul, maybe either one. I'm quite convinced, actually, that Master Hilarion, former St. Paul, is a first ray monad with a fifth sub ray monad and a soul that's on the sixth, or I don't know anymore, maybe sixth ray at the time, sixth ray, Buddhic second ray, kind of a 1-5, and then a 6-2. But that taking the kingdom of heaven by storm, this was his characteristic approach. And once he was overcome on the road to Damascus by the presence of the Christ, and blinded, as the record tells DK, for 3 days, he says the record confirms this. Some sort of incredible light broke forth, and all of the heavy persecutory tendencies directed towards early Christians were transferred into the representing Jesus or representing the Christ and or Jesus. So he was an unrelenting type. And even the way he met his death, you know, having his head cut off in Rome, he wasn't one to fear. And I mean, he wasn't one to be afraid. And he drove through, driving itself into the triad. But from where? Well, maybe from one of the points where the Antikorana is launched, maybe in the method that Master DK gave us, the launching from the pool of retained energies upon the fourth subplane of the mental plane. You can also drive into the triad from some sort of affiliation with the egoic lotus, because there is a connection there. If I can show it. And here it is. It's as if, you know, not only can you reach in this sense through an Antikorana process, the spiritual triad, but from this red line here, you can drive into the triad from maybe some point that may not be the jewel in the lotus, but it could be the synthesizing petals, the what we might call will synthesis petal, which I imagine would be very powerful in someone who, for whom the soul ray was the first, or still higher rays were the first, as I suspect it was for St. Paul. This first one, however, it does not concern the triad. It's the normal connection of the top of the personality with the egoic lotus. And it's what we're taught at first in the arcane school in a safe and universal manner, not necessarily exactly suited to ourselves. We'll have to be patient about that. There will come a time when we are under direct and very careful instruction. By a high initiate, maybe a master or a high initiate. And then we'll have to follow out those suggestions very carefully. And they will be suited to us, as DK says a little earlier, they will be the best and fastest and clearest way to connect our brain consciousness with the ego on the higher mental plane, or the ego above that. Well, so these are really important, because it gives you a sense, when you know you're on a particular ray, of how you proceed to a more universal perspective granted in the impersonal world, the triad, in which the Master's focus, and in which we have to learn to focus. So if I were a first-ray soul and I read the words driving itself into the triad, I would know something about how to proceed. This forcing, when I deal with first-ray people, they oftentimes use I forced X this way, I forced Y that way, I forced Z yet another way. But the word force is there. And, you know, he tells the first ray type that it is a noble thing to be an agent for the imposition of the will of God. There he's talking about the political workers. Now, you know, to which I usually say, well, look at the old story about the traveler who was viewed by the sun and the wind, and who had a contest among themselves to see who could get the man to remove his coat most rapidly. And the wind tried to blow it off the man, but the more it blew, the more tightly he hugged the coat to himself. And then out came the sun, you know, signifying in this case more the second ray, and things got warm, and the man just naturally took the coat off by himself. This is sometimes my response to people who carry the necessity of forcing the issue. But, you know, when I look at the Russian army in the Second World War, I'm so grateful that some kind of indomitable type like Marshal Zhukov, on his tremendously first-rate type, was able to force the German armies into a position of capitulation. It wasn't going to be a pleasant matter. The whole, I think, German Sixth Army was pretty much captured by him. And yes, he would scream and he would rant and he would threaten his own men with execution, and not easy to deal with, but forcing was necessary. It's just a balance of when do you need what ray? What is the timing and what is the degree of intensity of the application of the ray? Too much of anything is no good. And DK talks about maybe meditating on a certain constellation, might be Orion, might be the star Betelgeuse. And he says, well, if you're going to release too much love onto the planet, a group might do that, and then things would fall seriously out of balance. Okay. When the egoic ray is the second, or the love wisdom ray, then the path of least resistance lies along the line of expansion, of a gradual inclusion. It is not so much a driving forward. Remember that. Because the first ray is the ray of progress onward. And driving forward through space. Another name for the first ray. Progress onward. And driving forward through space. Not so much that, as it is a gradual expanding from the inner center to include the entourage, the environment, the allied souls, and the affiliated groups of pupils under some one master, until all are included in the consciousness. This is really identification, isn't it? Carried to the point of achievement, this expansion results, you know, kind of a wobbling, final shattering of the causal body, just falls apart like a soft-boiled egg. The final shattering of the causal body at the fourth initiation. So just excuse me, I'm going to do it again. You know, I'm going to use that color that I love. I was born into a green family, but turned out to be a blue type. It's so interesting to compare your own rays with the rays of the physical family into which you may be born. And then, of course, there's the emotional and the mental family. We're a member of a number of families. Sometimes I was the firstborn, and I know other firstborns, and they sometimes get in there and they cause trouble, and they run counter to the prevailing trend of the family. I saw that even, you know, lately here in the year 2020, there's been discussion of the psychological dynamics of the Trump family. And the first son, he wasn't approved of. He wanted to be an airline pilot. He came in a different way, on a different ray, perhaps, with a different destination. I don't know whether black sheep are born first, but might be. But it's interesting for everybody to study their own dynamics in relation to the family. I saw, you know, I have brothers, and I saw them take different paths on different rays. Some stayed close to the source, and I deviated tremendously, and another balanced the situation. It's interesting always to study people from the point of view of their energies. Not that we're expert at it, the way Master DK is, but okay, we can learn something. It's always interesting to assess the ray and astrological combination of immediate family members and of friends who may share many rays in common. As DK says, the friendship exists because one sees them doing things as one would do them, those things, oneself. But there are superficial friendships based upon resonance or identicality of outer points of tension in the personality, and those that are much deeper. And you may have to discover your inner affiliation, even though outwardly you are much different. Inwardly, you're very much the same. And those are the relationships that really last. How fascinating all of this study of energy, and how developed it will be during the, you know, Aquarian age. So a lot of people studying Master DK proceed with the destruction of their causal body. First, they have to build it. You know, you can't destroy what you don't have. But they build along this inclusive line, expansion, so Jupiter, right? And gradual inclusion. I oftentimes summarize certain qualities by relating them to the astrological planet, which typifies these qualities. Not so much a driving forward, but he does say, you know, you have the will like tempered steel of your first ray X, whatever. In the case of Roberto Sercioli, I believe it was his first. No. The will like tempered steel of your second ray soul. That's it. The first ray will is crashing through. It's different. But this incredible persistence of going forward without let up or leeway belongs to the second ray. The will like tempered steel of your second ray soul. And he had other second ray factors. I like, you know, I have to catch myself when I say something incorrect, and sometimes I'm fortunate. I am fortunate to have caught the mistake. Other times I have to live excruciatingly with the thought that, oh my goodness, I didn't catch it and I can't fix it. So, carried to the point of achievement. What is this point of achievement? Basically, first grade level, the first great point of achievement is the fourth initiation. In the first instance, achievement via the power ray, the driving forward and the forcing upward, says Master Moria, you're surrounded by evil beings. Can't break through quite, but you can force yourself upward. There's only one way to go, up. The driving forward and the forcing upward had a like result. The opened channel admitted the downflow of force or fire from the spirit, namely the spiritual triad as a representative of the monad. So from monad and triad, the fire descends. And maybe there's all kinds of fires, you know, and maybe we've had the experience of the particular kind of destructive fire, which is breaking the scabbard of the sword, breaking the temple in which the spirit is confined, breaking the casket in which the jewel of spirit is confined. It's a big moment. And we're all of us heading for that. The time equation is, as you know, so much in our hands. All right. So that's very important for many students of the Tibetan. Inclusion, expansion. And I think, you know, it has a lot to do with the manner in which the Christ could identify with others. He just included them in the being that he was, which is, of course, the being that we are. You know, when two units of life share the realization of identicality of being, they look at each other in an entirely different way. I sometimes choose certain people with whom there is quite an immediate rapport, and focusing upon them, I feel a movement in the heart which reveals what I can only call the predominance of isness, a shared isness. Well, actually, we share isness with everything. There's no perception with which we do not share isness, and actually no potential perception from much greater perceivers than we seem to be, with which we do not share isness. So, it's off on a little tangent here, but okay. We share isness with all perceptions and perceivables, and even all potential perceivables. There's nothing that can be perceived by, no matter how great a being it is, that does not have the same isness as what we consider ourselves to be has, or have, what we have. The one thing that's identical in all things, and things are perceptions by some perceivers, self-perceptions by some perceiver, the one thing that's identical is isness. It is. So forget quality for a little while, it just is. and the worst and the best among human beings or among any forces have isness, identical. Am I supposed to think that I'm the same as a virus? In terms of isness, I am. In terms of development within the great Mahamaya and the combining of different aspects into a multi-part wholeness, no, then it's not the same. So, you know, we're dealing with sameness on the horizontal level of being or beingness or isness and hierarchy and diversification on the vertical level. Well, you know, every once in a while, I have to throw in the sermon because, you know, that's my concentration these days. The presence of isness. And isness is the presence. And as I say, you know, keep the heart open if you want to perceive it. Okay, when the egoic ray, and now I get to use the color green, huh? When the egoic ray is the third or activity adaptability ray, the method is somewhat different. You know, notice how he explains through contrast. Not so much the driving forward, and not so much the gradual expansion as the systematic adaptation of all knowledge and of all means to the end in view. It is in fact the utilization of the many for the use of the one. That's powerful. What do I need to bring to bear here in this situation so that the one objective can be achieved? It is more the accumulation of needed material, pre-conditioned material, in which attainment already exists, and the of needed material and quality for the helping of the world and the amassing of information through love and discrimination that eventually causes the shattering of the causal body. We have to discriminate between the second and third. Since I have, you know, personally, so much second and third in me, I find it sometimes difficult to discriminate between these two rays, especially when thinking about accumulation versus expansion. But of course, the accumulation shows up for third ray types in certain super rich types, considered in a material sense. They do accumulate and accumulate and accumulate. Is it the same as including? Because you can include without appropriating for yourself. But the accumulation, that would be on the second ray, but the accumulation on the third ray is a, we say in unpleasant terms, cornering the market, getting it all, having a monopoly. Everybody has to come to you. You can dole it out and you can make lots of that symbolic something we call money. So it's not so much the driving forward, although, you know, DK seems to hint that the one is in the two and three, the two is in the one and three, the three is in the two and one. He seems to hint at that. Not so much a gradual expansion. Here I come with my close to indigo color. As the systematic adaptation of all knowledge and of all means to the end in view, it is in fact the process of the utilization of the many for the use of the one. Oh, I know where I can find that. Oh, I know where I can access that. And it's already ready. So you don't necessarily have to teach it. You just select it and use it. It is more the accumulation of the needed material. You don't have to grow your own tree, cut it down, make boards out of it. You just go to the store and buy it, you know? For the helping of the world and the amassing of information through love and discrimination. And it's not just a big grab, but you select what you need that eventually causes the shattering of the causal body. Such a relief to be able to use a little green here, you know? We're not just talking about, well, materialism, because there's something very valuable about this third ray, the ray of our planetary personality. So red, blue, and green, you know. We're moving beyond the green into the blue. We're halfway through the blue, and then we'll move into the red. And the synthesis of those three, in whatever slight modifications, will be the white. Yes, the synthesis in the white. So it's just amazing. Of course, there have been comments made, you know, about this accumulation in getting and in spending. We lay waste our, what was the word? Substance, I don't know, our life. You can become so obsessed with getting. I was always thought to myself, one of the most wealthy men in the world was John Paul Getty. There was a movie about him recently. It was called All the Money in the World. And it was finally played by a great actor, Christopher Plummer. But it was an obsession to have and to be attached to material goods. Even the word good, is it a good? I have many goods here, and tangibility equaled the good. For the second ray type, tangibility does not necessarily equal the good. The archetype equals the good. For the first ray type, maybe none of it equals the good. Maybe Christ responding with that first ray mind, why call you me good? Only God is good. Only the essence is good. But in a way, I think the essence is beyond good and evil. In these rays of aspect or of divine expression, if so I may call them, the shattering is brought about by the widening of the channel due to the driving power of the first. Well, okay, I want to just use my opportunity for different colors. In these rays of aspect 1, 2, 3, or of divine expression 1, 2, 3, especially 1, 2, if so I may call them, the shattering is brought about by the widening of the channel due to the driving power of will in the first case, by the expansion. By the expansion of the lower auric egg, the causal body in the second case, due to the inclusiveness of the synthetic ray of love and wisdom. Now, in a way, the first ray is synthetic also, and so is the seventh ray synthetic. So we have to see maybe what are the different types of synthesis that we have operative. I'm remembering for the second ray type, I've mentioned it before, that Master DK and Master KH were debating about whether to widen the channel or permit the widening of the channel in the case of their disciple, initiate disciple, Roberto Assagioli. When you really think of it, it's such a sacrifice on the part of those disciples to let their personal letters from the master to be distributed widely for the edification of others. Okay, everybody, kind of resuming recording here. I think my daughter showed up there just for a moment. Some of you know Heidi. I've been talking about the second ray here and the contrast with the third ray. So let's see here. What we have, not so much, as you call them, the three rays of aspect, or divine expression, if so I may call them, this shattering, you know, this falling apart of the causal body, this maybe the word disintegration of the causal body is brought about by the widening of the channel. And here we have the widening caused by driving power of the will in the first case, the expansion of the lower auric egg, the causal body in the second case, due to the inclusiveness of the synthetic ray of love wisdom. That's just what she called, and very strong example of the synchronicity on the second ray. And then by the breaking of the periphery of the causal body in the third case, due to the accumulative faculty, which is different from the identificatory faculty, and the systematic absorption of the adaptability ray, meaning you select what you want, you select what you need, and you don't have to impress upon whatever material it is, something that is used by the first ray method. You impress the quality you want, or in the second ray method, you teach it, you know. You make it possible for it to absorb, but no, it's already pre-made in the third method, having to do with the adaptability ray. You know where to go. You know how to select. Due to the accumulative faculty and systematic absorption of the adaptability ray. I think, you know, these are some marvelous, simple hints about dynamics that we may feel are functioning within us. I try to think, just think for a moment, you know, just pause for a moment. How do you find yourself moving into the ego, the higher self? Do you drive? Do you expand and absorb? Okay. Drive or expand and absorb? Or do you accumulate and adapt? Now, you know, let's just say that the... yeah, that's right. Okay, that's good. And yeah, that's good. in a way, under the third ray, 4, 5, 6, and 7 all take place, but with 5 and 7, in a way, more related to the third ray. And even though 4 and 6 are under the third ray, at least in the monastic period of development, 4 and 6 are more related to the second ray. And 5 and 7 are also related to the first ray. But they take place, in a way, in the third great or Brahmic department. So the shifting of the energies, we can reason about it, but it's something that we want to be able to see. So what do? Do we drive forward into the higher realization? Do we expand and absorb our way? And often, let's say, through identification, or do we accumulate and adapt? So often, those things which are ultimately not of great value rush not from point to point, nor will be deluded by the things which pass away. I think it must have been a third ray soul or something, that invented the phrase, you can't take it with you. Well, in a way, some of the things to which the third ray attaches itself, you indeed cannot take it with you. But in terms of the inner quality of any of these rays, then especially, well, any of them, but the second ray knows indeed you can't help but take it with you. Marvelous theater piece by, I think, George Kaufman, a play, old play now, you can't take it with you. A bunch of crazy people in a house living life to the full because you can't take it with you. Well, we students of esotericism, we're working precisely on the idea that indeed you can and must take it with you, the things that count. So all these three different methods have the same result and are fundamentally all forms of one great method applied in the evolution of love wisdom, the goal or endeavor of the present solar system. So all of these rays are rays of the great synthetic ray of love wisdom. And we're in process, we're doing this, we're building the, we indeed are building the causal body, and we have different ways of proceeding. You know, and I'll just, little mantra, may you bark up the right tree. Okay. You have the will driving a man onto perfection through realization of the higher and resulting in the service of power through love in activity. So this is, notice how the other two qualities are combined with the one we're focusing on. So, you know, basically we're focusing on the first ray here, the will, driving a man onto perfection through the realization of the higher, whatever that higher may be, and resulting in the service of power through love in activity. You know, there's just times when nothing can substitute for the need for power. Then we have the wisdom or love aspect. Maybe wisdom is older than love in respect of its appearance. You have the wisdom aspect or love aspect driving. Notice we are constantly using the word driving. because behind it all is the divine will of the Sola Logos. You have the wisdom or love aspect driving a man on to perfection through the utilization of his oneness with all that breathes, resulting in the service of love through love in activity. Every one of these is really a statement. Maybe this one's a tiny bit more obscure. I did see the word will. Well, it's included in the idea of driving. You have the wisdom or love aspect driving a man steadily, without let up or leeway, to onto perfection, perfection being, of course, that moment when the relative perfection, when the causal body is disintegrated. Driving a man onto perfection through the utilization of his oneness with all that breathes. Obviously, the Christ is using that method, isn't he? And when he becomes a great ray of love on the ray path, he'll use that method, resulting in the service of love, through love, in activity. Love is served through love in activity. A greater love is served through a little lesser love, which is in action. And let's just call this, in a way, goodwill is love in action. And then you have the activity aspect, driving, there we go, driving. That's a common word. Driving a man onto perfection through the utilization of all in the service of man. Utilitarian, in the high occult sense. First, the utilization of all for himself, then by the graded steps of the utilization of all for the family, of all for those he personally loves, of all for his environing associates, and thus on and up until all is utilized in the service of humanity. And what is, I'm just curious here, on page 32 of the astrology book, what we have, and maybe nothing, but there we go. And I'll kind of bring it into focus. Basically, what we see here is I serve myself, I serve my brother, and I serve the one. So that's the utilization . Where are we in this? You know, the near and dear ones, of course, all of us, we have the need to serve them. But then I serve the one, you know, the expanded environment and the people in the expanded environment and the kingdoms of nature in the expanded environment, you know, all of these we serve. So here is a real expansion. All of these driving a man forward in the service through the utilization. That's the big word, isn't it? The utilitarian approach, using the instrument. And let's increase that a bit. First, by the utilization of all for himself, selfishness. That can be Aquarius too, you know. You, instead of turning the shower on others, the shower of good things, you turn it on yourself. All for you. Then by the graded steps of utilization of all for the family, that's a fairly natural idea. Of all for those he personally loves, but that's not the wider love of the soul and of all, for his environing associates, and thus on and up until all is utilized in the service of humanity. Well, okay. So much for the first three rays of aspect. But then there are other rays of attribute which have their interesting methods of destroying the causal body. Every temple must be destroyed. A temple is a great womb for a time and a place of nurturance, cultivation, but eventually we have to be exposed to the larger picture. And if the walls of the temple are allowed to stand, we will never be exposed to the larger energy field. So the destruction must come. And finally, the universe itself is one great temple. And in the Maha Pralaya, the universal Pralaya, the destruction must come. But not prematurely, and not delayed, as is sometimes the case when we cling to the treasure we have accumulated and prefer it to the possibility of still greater treasures about which we may still doubt or be uncertain. When the egoic ray is the attributive ray of harmony, he doesn't say conflict here, interestingly, the method will be along the lines of inner realization of beauty and harmony. Inner realization of beauty and harmony. Beauty and glory veil me not. I stand revealed, I am. Those seven mantric phrases, so important, they appear several places in the books. Beauty and glory veil me not. It's always, you're always looking for the being within the mode of expressing that being. It causes the shattering of the causal body by the knowledge of sound and color. And the shattering effect of sound. It is the process that leads to the realization of the notes and tones of the solar system. You know, from the solar body, which we call the causal body, to the solar system itself. It's you've already entered the solar initiations. And the endeavor to harmonize the egoic note with that of others. Very interesting. When the egoic note is sounded in harmony with other egos, maybe their rays are different, but still in harmony, because the closer you are to the top of the pyramid, the more harmony prevails. The result is the shattering of the causal body, dissociation from the lower, and the attainment of perfection. Well, it's you can only imagine that, what did Bach say, the secret of my harmony, only I know it. That kind of claim, of course, coming from an Aries individual, but, you know, given what he produced and how much he did for the whole world of harmony, there may be a lot of truth in what he said. Somewhere I have that. The effect of sound and color. And if that's one of the first methods of healing to appear, and if the fourth ray is coming in via its monadic aspect, starting from 2025, then with an influx, I suppose, of those who are on that fourth ray, will it be soul, will it be monad, we can expect this method will be emerging into prominence. Right now, we don't have so many of the fourth ray souls, but they have to be born now. And who is to say about the coming in of the fourth ray monadic types from the monadic plane? But this is intriguing to me. It is the process that leads to the realization of the notes and tones of the solar system, the note and tone of individuals. Is there a difference between note and tone? And the endeavor to harmonize the egoic note with that of others. Well, that's not immediately possible, but there is an endeavor to do so. And, you know, we now live in a blue solar system. Of course, there are many notes and tones. And maybe the notes, I don't know, have more to do with the personality of whatever entity it is. Maybe the tones have something to do with some higher source within them, maybe, or maybe they just are equivalent to each other, notes and tones. But this is the blue solar system, and our solar logos does have a second ray soul, and presently it has a second ray personality, we are told. And eventually, I suspect, not only a fourth ray monad, but a second ray monad, I suspect. So we have to be aware of what notes and tones our associates are sounding. And that's probably related to what colors they are evidencing. It's a different way of perception. I suppose those people who have the synesthesia, they can see tones and notes and they can hear colors, will have a special mode of approach to higher consciousness along this line. I didn't see any fourth ray souls, who knows the history, because there are some second ray souls that have been on the fourth ray and some that have not. And DK actually distinguishes between them. Well, if they haven't been on the fourth ray transferring to the second, then they've been on the sixth ray. So the history may be hidden, but maybe one can tell, you know, whether one has been along the line of war and conflict, seeking harmony, or the line of fanaticism, seeking the ideal, before one becomes a second-ray soul. And, of course, one can become also a third-ray soul in relation to those two previous rays, 4 and 6. Anyway, this endeavor to harmonize the egoic note with that of others, and we would say, regardless of what egoic rays may be involved, harmonization is possible. Because the soul is generically on the fourth, on the second ray, no matter what the ray of the soul specifically. So, when the egoic note is sounded in harmony with other egos, and this is group consciousness perfected, the result is the shattering of the causal body, dissociation from the lower, and attainment of perfection. And we might say a higher, whoop, I don't want that, do I? a higher beauty. So its exponents, says the Tibetan, develop along the line of music, rhythm, there's a lot of the seventh ray in that too, of course, and painting. But basically we have, how should we look at, can we look at this in terms of the rays? Painting is the visual part, rhythm is the moving part, music is the auditory part. So we have movement, we have auditory, we have visual. So three approaches. Which is movement, whoops, two keyboards, movement, auditory, and visual. They withdraw within. In the true creative process, you have to withdraw within, otherwise you just grab what's in the air and it's not authentic and you throw it together, you know, it's a method of third ray creativity where you pre-select or you select what is already preformed. And I think that it's not the real creativity. They withdraw within in order to comprehend the life side of form. And there are some very excellent passages from the old commentary appealing to the intuition. The outer manifestation of that life side in the world is through that which we call art. The great painters and the superlative musicians, you know, not just those who can come up with a nice tune, it's good, but you know, are in many cases, but not all cases, apparently reaching their goal that way. You can imagine that a Bach or Beethoven would be reaching the goal in that way. Okay. What color shall be used here? Something manifestational, maybe? So its exponents develop along the line of music, rhythm, and painting. A Michelangelo would be one such, along the line of painting and sculpture. Not along the line of music or of dance according to rhythm and so forth. No. No, there's the distinction in the way art is expressed. The outer manifestation of that life side is the world in the world is through that which we call art. So what can we say that in a way art? No, why am I doing that? We can say that art. Whoop. Art. Is life. Expression through form, objectified life expressed in beauty. Well, as I said, there were no fourth ray souls. We don't know about monads, but no fourth ray souls in the Tibetan group. There were fourth ray personalities, some of whom had the fourth ray mind also. And at least one of them was definitely involved in the artistic scene. But even the fourth ray can be expressed in different ways that are not necessarily artistic, but can involve maybe the art of living. There are different ways of expressing art. Usually the word art implies the presence of intuition. I think I was once in Germany with its fourth ray soul, and it was a long time ago, 30 years ago almost. And I was holding a seven ray seminar. And I thought I detected in the one or two of the people, the fourth ray soul. It wouldn't surprise me coming in such a nation of Beethoven, Bach, Beethoven, and Brahms, the three B's, you know. There was something about this person that was different from the usual second ray pursuits. And naturally, when either the personality ray or the soul ray of a nation is a particular ray, then souls on that ray will show up. They may represent as souls the personality. For instance, in the United States, with its six-ray personality, there are a lot of six-ray souls. And because it has a second-ray soul, there are a lot of second-ray souls. Now, there are souls of all kinds, and the Tibetan and other masters would know the proportion. And when an age comes in where a ray cycle is accompanying an astrological cycle, then, okay, there's going to be an increasing representation of that particular ray. But we don't know to what nations they will be directed, maybe some more than others. In Russia, we can expect with the seventh ray soul, a lot of seventh ray souls coming in. But with Spain and its seventh ray personality, yes, also seventh ray souls would be coming in. So the soul and personality ray are reflected in the type of souls that come into the nation. And as far as humanity as a whole is concerned, the greater preponderance of human beings have either a third-ray personality or a sixth-ray personality. Now, if you look at Russia and the United States, they together maybe make 600 million people. That's quite a few. And they both have sixth-ray personalities. So that idea that the six-ray personality is one of the two preponderant personalities can be accounted for in Russia and the United States. There are other places too. When it comes to the, well, third ray, look at China. You know, China just has a tremendous population, and it's a third-ray country. So there, not only is the third ray indicating that there are many third-ray souls in China, but that great accumulation of third-ray types in China can fill in quite a few of the third ray souls. There's these third ray personalities that are preponderant in humanity altogether. And the fact that, you know, the whole East has a third ray personality and a fourth ray soul. Well, in the East, we're liable to find a lot of those third-ray personalities. It just depends on whether people have reached the stage of real intelligence, whether they can switch on to the third ray. Otherwise, you have 4, 5, 6, 7, and what looks like third ray has to come through one of the signs of the zodiac. For instance, in India, with its Capricorn personality, there's plenty of room for the third ray. So basically, the presence of particular rays, either as soul or personality, tells us about the kinds of souls that are to be found in a country. But also, looking at humanity as a whole, we have to find one day the distribution of that majority of sixth ray and third ray personalities that typify human manifestation. I guess what that means is when you're trying to determine the personality ray of a human being, there is a greater likelihood that they will be on the third or sixth ray than on the other rays. And especially not on the first and second ray, unless they have reached the period of the first initiation. So what's left is a preponderance of 3 and 6, the elimination of 1 and 2, I'm talking about just for the, you know, very average non-aspiring individual, the possibility of ray 3 if intelligence has been reached, you know, reinforcing that preponderance of 3 and 6, and then, as far as personalities go, 4 and 5 and 7 will be not only found among personalities, but among souls, because so many people have not even switched into the stage of intelligent man that can have a third ray soul, and they have not switched into spiritual man on ray 2 or 1 that can have a first or second ray soul or a first and second ray personality. So, you know, we can kind of figure that out, but the numbers, of course, are in the possession of the masters. And, you know, when they say secrets of initiation, there's so many specifics about numbers that are just not given to us for good reason. We can have the generalities. We, you know, with meditation, we can have that which is universal and safe. And with numbers, we can have those that are approximate for the most part. And the more intricate mathematics are not yet ours to get into. Now, let's see, what else do we have here? We have this thing that says, and that, and this suffices for today, and maybe we'll go that far, we'll see. When the fifth ray, a ray of concrete science or knowledge, is a man's ray, the method is very interesting, as you might expect. I wish I had an orange highlighter here. I don't. I would use orange. I could also use spiritually indigo blue, but I don't have it. And I just don't have what I need. But since the fifth ray has for one of its alternative colors yellow, I'll use that. So this method of destroying the causal body, of shattering it, of seeing to its disintegration, I call it the Swiss cheese method, if you'll allow. It takes the form of the intense application of the concrete mind to some problem or the helping of the race. Maybe Jonas Salk, in the discovery of the polio vaccine, had this fifth ray soul. It is the bending of every mental quality and the controlling of the lower nature so that one supreme endeavor is made to pierce through that which hinders the downflow of the higher knowledge. And yeah, indeed, it involves the will element because Ray 5, strangely, is related to Ray 1. But if you look at the Pythagorean Tetractys, you're going to see that the fifth point is directly beneath the first point and bisects the distance between the second and third points. So maybe there's a reason that Pythagoras is said to have said, "Eureka, you know, I have found it." So the intense application, well, it's going on right now. We have this very destructive worldwide epidemic, a pandemic, and certain people are racing with all they've got, using the fifth ray to discover what may be a vaccine or a retardant for the disease process, which is so subtle and murderous, really, in its concealment. It's like an assassin, you know, lurking, and you don't detect the presence of the assassin. But it's an interesting method, you know, you're drilling holes. You're piercing through that which hinders the downflow of higher knowledge. As I say, you know, it means something to me anyway that I call it the Swiss cheese. And it also makes me think how much of the fifth ray is in the ray makeup of Switzerland. Along with seventh ray. It involves also the will element, as might be expected, the relationship to ray one being so strong. You'll find that, you know, in the instructions to HSD, who is the sixth ray soul, first ray personality, first ray mind, and a sixth ray astral body and seventh ray physical. Now why did I say that? Well, I've said it. I'll have to come back and maybe it will come to me. So it involves also the will element. Why I said it was that in her instructions, a certain Harriet Richards, I think, the method of making the transference from 4, 5, 6, 7 to 1, 2, 3 is given, and the Tibetan even says that it is invariable. Well, it's invariable except for when it isn't, as he has given other examples, like 7 to 2, seventh ray soul to a second ray soul. And the result is the resting of the desired information from the source of all knowledge, and we might call that universal mind, 5 from below on the cosmic physical plane. In other words, plane of Atma. And of course, a still more universal mind will be found on the cosmic and supercosmic planes. As far as supercosmic mental plane, it's not even drawn. Although, as I said, I knew one Finnish man who just liked what he saw about extending these creative hierarchies, and he went onto those higher levels. It was interesting and, of course, so out of touch with anything a normal human being could possibly understand that it had to have been simply diagrammatic. As the processes continue, the piercing of the periphery of the causal body becomes so frequent. The piercing of the periphery of the causal body on the way to the source of all knowledge. You know, the causal body is a limitation, so we pierce the periphery on the way to the atomic plane, on the way to the cosmic mental plane, whether the concrete levels or above, and then maybe, well, no, we can't go beyond that. I mean, the Buddha had that cosmic touch, and that has to have been our cosmic mental plane, whether lower cosmic mental or higher cosmic mental, that would have to be reasoned out. But that piercing through on the way to the source of all knowledge, whether the atomic plane or the cosmic mental plane, it becomes so frequent that in the end, disintegration is produced and a man is set free. Things just literally can no longer hang together. They fall apart. It is mentality driving a man on to perfection and forcing him to utilize all knowledge in the loving service of the race, and plenty of will is involved. Now look at Edison. HPB complained about blockage which his disbelief caused. But he did, let's use a verb here, Swiss cheese the causal body. One invention after another, you know? And such incredible application. I've shown you a picture of him, you know, having stayed up all night for five nights in a row or something like that, and he was partial to wine laced with cocaine to keep him going and going. He did live to a ripe old age, and he slept under the stairs. I was there, was it Menlo Park? It was when I lived in New Jersey, revisited, and saw the original Edison lab, you know, a real fifth ray presence there. The phonograph, the incandescent bulb, you know, the light bulb, and I don't know, I'm not even up to date on all the things that he invented. One could look at Edison's inventions, and I'm sure it would be a long list, and for every one, there would have to be that intense mental concentration, just zeroed in on one point. And you know, and when the filament for the incandescent bulb was not found, and you know, was he up to almost 1,000 different substances? Someone said, well, you know, you better give up on this because nothing has worked out. And he says, well, now we know 900 and something things that don't work. But that one-pointed determination to find something that did work, that was uniquely his. So he really contributed to the light. And when you think about how the most luminous of the ray lords is the fifth ray lord, that luminosity is incredible. You think about our fifth ray soul planet, Venus. As far as Earth is concerned, it's the most luminous planet. That's in relative magnitude. Maybe other planets are more luminous, more powerful, older, more mature, whatever. But as far as Earth is concerned, it is fast evolving Venus and its fifth ray soul. Then, okay, so, you know, there were so many things about Edison that may have been gruff, and he may have had a certain type of skepticism, which Madame Blavatsky said, you know, was hindering his progress. That was not the case with fifth ray Keeley. And they say that, you know, Keeley made such discoveries that they were dangerous for humanity to have at that point, that early point. So whatever the powers that be, and this is just a story, they came in and messed up Keeley's notes every night so that he, it almost sounds like the reverse of the shoemaker and the elves. The elves put the different parts of the shoes together, then you had a completed shoe. And Keeley was getting messed up because there was a danger that he was going to break into areas that humanity could not afford to know. And in case such a story seems far-fetched, we can refer to something the Tibetan has said about it, or about something similar, that maybe in 1950 it was, and maybe for 50 years, the independent work of the fifth ray ashram was suspended, and it became relegated to a subsidiary of the third ray ashram, which I suppose limited the degree of its concentration, penetration. Because they were just getting too hot and too close to laws and discoveries which could have contributed to terrible weaponry and the disintegration of matter far more easily. Now we're getting back into the lasers, you know. They can aim a laser now. Maybe the fifth ray ashram is working again. We're told a lot of those members come from other planets, and they come to Earth in order to develop the second petal, which is a magnetic love petal. And on their particular planet, would it be Vulcan? Would it be Mercury? They hadn't undergone those developments, but they have contributed much to the destructive power of humanity. And you can find that, you know, in Cosmic Fire, when we talk about egos already preformed to a degree, but missing something, coming in to our Earth scheme. And, you know, as man to our globe. But it had to be suspended. And you can understand how the masters have to keep a balance in the ways these different rays work. Now, you know, we were told earlier, if a group gets together and, say, contemplates, and, you know, a certain star, and I imagine that to be Betelgeuse in Orion, that too much love energy falls in and upsets the economy of energies disastrously. And then if Sanat Kumara had allowed the fifth ray, which basically had just invented the atomic bomb and shortly afterwards the hydrogen bomb, if it had been allowed to continue independently Who knows what the destructive effect upon man might have been? So it was balanced out in a different way. And that's up to the masters how they see things, and they see large movements in different groups of people and different kinds of attainments, and they know when the point of imbalance occurs, because as you know from a machine, if it's out of balance, it can basically shake itself to death. It just falls apart. But a well-functioning, balanced machine will operate smoothly. And so it is with the energy systems. And I would say that humanity not having the big picture is always causing some sort of imbalance. Maybe this is why the first ray is really withheld in its pure form, because we, humanity, just couldn't stand a pure destroyer. We've had enough trouble with other destroyers and conquerors, and DK talks about them and how they've always interrupted the rhythm that was going forward. It sounded to me like he got interrupted. He even includes his friend Akbar, who became Master Moria, you know, and Genghis Khan and Napoleon, I suppose. Anyway, the conquerors, Julius Caesar, I don't know who he all includes, but if I were to look for it, I would say, Caesar. And Akbar, okay, and then maybe this is the place. Yeah, and I'll just read it to you, you know, because it's so kind of poignant coming from a second ray master who would not be this kind. The sorry history of humanity has been one of kings and potentates. Well, we do have a first ray monad involved in our monadic structure in this planet. Doesn't mean it's the only monadic ray. Remember, there is likely to be a ray associated with the monad in the monadic vehicle, Temple of Ezekiel on the monadic plane, and then finally, either a 1, 2, or 3 on the logoic plane. So the sorry history of humanity has been one of kings and potentates, rulers and warriors, presidents, even includes presidents, probably self-appointed for life, and dictators rising into power at the expense of their own or other nations. Conquerors came and come and go. Akbar, Genghis Khan, the pharaohs, Alexander the Great, Caesar, Charlemagne, William the Conqueror, Napoleon, Hitler, and Mussolini. Ah, what a group. But remember that one of them is now a master, at least one, and that is Akbar. These have all upset the rhythm of their times and have come to power through aggression and slaughter. You know, oh, the village won't obey, the town won't obey, wipe them all out. As the nations grew more closely interrelated, their influence and their field of expression increased. The growing means of communication brought this about. Great Britain knew nothing of the movements of Alexander. The peoples of America knew naught about Genghis Khan, but the sound of the marching armies of Napoleon was heard over a far wider area, and the triumphs of Hitler, diplomatic and military, are known throughout the world because of the communication system. So this is really an important paragraph, page 183 and 184. In the externalization of the hierarchy. And on page 184, basically, and 183, yeah. Well, DK is objective, and even though Akbar turned into the mighty Master Maurya, and DK remarks about the expression in his eyes, how he might appear so stern, except for the expression in his eyes. Obviously, Master Maurya had in some way discovered and applied the love energy. Let's look that up just for fun. And I hope I'm telling you correctly. The word is eyes and M. Let's see. He is a man of tall and commanding presence. What, 6 foot six? Dark hair and beard and dark eyes, and might be considered stern were it not for the expression that lies in his eyes. That's Master M. So, you know, we do live in a love, wisdom, solar system, and it doesn't make any difference what our ray is. We're all somehow at the present time units within the second ray solar logos, and we're part of a heart center of a cosmic logos. And what is the heart center of the supercosmic logos? Well, people have different ideas about that, but maybe it's the constellation Orion, maybe. There's reasons, you know, that make that seem justifiable. Okay. The ray of devotion is preeminently the ray of sacrifice. Now, remember that the law of sacrifice, the first soul law is ruled by the fourth ray, interestingly, and the law of service by the sixth, but okay. Preeminently the ray of sacrifice. And when it is the egoic ray, you know, pretty much one of the rays of the triad as transferred by the monastic permanent atom into the vessel of the triad, which is the causal body. When it is the egoic ray, the method of approach through meditation, all of these are methods of meditation, takes the form of one-pointed application through love to some individual or ideal. Now, what is interesting here, as soon as I get this going, I'll say what is interesting, is that the Master Jesus, we're told, considers the Lord Maitreya as his, Jesus's, great ideal. Well, the Master Jesus, it appears that he has a six-ray soul, but also a six-ray monad. So, you know, we don't know about these higher rays, we can speculate, but he is the head of the six-ray ashram, and therefore he is a Chohan, and therefore, as a Chohan, he can have any one of the seven rays as his subsidiary monadic ray, and he will have to have one of the major three rays as his major monadic ray, and it's too much to speculate, but it's probably not the third ray. It's probably first ray or second. Might fit, I don't know, to have, if you consider that Master Hilarion, former St. Paul, has a first ray monad, I would say ultimate first ray monad, and he works subsidiarily with Master Jesus, could be Master Jesus has an ultimate first ray monad, major. He's considered to be a great general of commanding, a great general with quite a look, I think, not the sweet, suffering Jesus of so many embossed images sold in religious bookstores and maybe found on candy boxes, I don't know, but not that. A man learns to include through love of person or ideal. He bends every faculty and every effort to the contemplation of what is required. Sounds a lot like the fifth ray. Every mental faculty on the fifth ray. And in sacrifice for that person or ideal, lays even his causal body on the flames of the altar. This is so, so much the case with Jesus in relation to the Christ, Maitreya. I guess it wouldn't be wrong also to use a red color, since there's so much Mars in it. If you read, you know, what is said of the names of the Ray Lords, and you read the sixth ray, you just feel you must be living on the planet Mars. The breaker of stones, the one who leads the 12, the implacable flaming one, you know, it's not Neptune. Though Neptune is a high sixth ray planet. Second ray, though, in terms of its monad. It is the method of divine fanaticism. It counts all lost apart from the vision, and that eventually sacrifices the entire personality. Don't you think that in a way, St. Paul, the one we now call St. Paul, had this also along with the Master Jesus, so that it enabled the two of them to work so focally together? You know, Paul replaced Judas, we are told. Sometimes excuses are made for Judas, you know, that the Christ had really told him he had to do this because that's the only way the scripture could be fulfilled and so forth. But maybe not. And maybe Judas was removed. 30 pieces of silver suggests the third ray and all those manipulations. Silver is the moon, third ray, from one perspective. Fourth ray and seventh ray from another. And the number three, third ray. And that surreptitious manipulation to give up the teacher. Who knows why? Maybe because the teacher was too broad and Judas was too, I don't know, militant or conniving, whatever. He wanted the true Messiah to liberate the Jewish Hebrew group and not be for the world. Well, you know, the greatest sinner makes the greatest saint, and all are at last redeemed. The causal body, gosh, everything's got to be red here, really. The causal body is destroyed through fire and the liberated life streams upward. And the liberated life streams upward to the spirit in divine beatification. You know, it's a state of saintly bliss. The church is always looking for someone to beatify, someone to help the people believe. It's looking for the method of making saints. So, well, liberated through fire, I'll stay with red. And then streaming upward, now here we have more Neptunian type of action. And Neptune is the blue planet, you know. I was surprised. I never realized it. Turquoise, very much the color, to our senses, of Uranus, the blue and the green. Why the blue? Well, it's hard to say why Uranus should have anything to do with blue, except it is along the Piscean line in a sixfold descent of Sirius, Pisces, Neptune, hierarchy, heart center, solar plexus. So the blue is somehow incorporated there. It's hard to know how. And the green certainly is incorporated because Uranus, one of its major rays, is the green ray, the third ray. DK kind of talks about that, and maybe it's one of the reasons why Uranus is so connected with migrations and moving here and there, you know, wandering here and there, which it is. Again, DK connects that with us, and major moves are often determined by Uranus, migrations, and so forth. When the egoic ray is the seventh ray of ceremonial law or magic, the method is that of the glorification and comprehension of form in approach. The glorification and comprehension of form in approach. As earlier said, the goal of all meditation is approach to the divine within each one, and through that, the approach to deity itself. So maybe the transfiguration has something of the seventh ray involved, because that's the other place where the word glorification is used, and he was glorified before them. Of course, it, you know, it's a scientific method, and he was reenacting previous glorification. Each one of them had taken the third initiation before, both the initiate Jesus and certainly the Christ at a time that we cannot specify. But, okay, more and more we will be seeing this glorification. And, you know, this train is bound for glory, this train. It's one of those spirituals, and it tells us of the coming, you know, glorification that will be offered to humanity, especially, I suspect, in the age of Capricorn. So here is a bit more about that seventh ray. The method, therefore, is the bringing under law, order and rule, that's seventh ray, and some first ray, of every act of the life in all the three bodies, and building within the causal body of an expanding form that results in the shattering of that body. Something about the Shekinah is involved here, but building, you know, this is another one of those rays of the builder. So is the second ray. And it's all regulated. And we do know that every true magician proceeds under law, order, and rule. Otherwise, woe to him as he lets loose the chaotic elemental forces which will kill him in that incarnation, deprive him of his vehicle. Whether he burns up in the ancient fires or whether he drowns, whether, you know, he loses his astral body and the link between mind and etheric physical, or whether what? Does he go mad in the mental body? Maybe DK says, well, there's no such thing right now as death by air, but we can imagine a chaotic condition of the lower Agni Suryans and the rendering of the concrete mind as an independent unit, which would be the 13th grade of hierarchy, indicating the ill-omened number 13, as DK tells us. That's one reason. The other, another reason might be that Jacques de Molay and these Templars were burned at the stake on Friday the 13th. Maybe the more occult reason has to do with the separating off of the mental body and the inability to receive higher soul inspiration. You can be sure that those who burned them were not doing so for heavenly purposes. So it is the building of the shrine, I suppose, the temple, under certain rules, into a dwelling place for the Shekinah, the inner light, and all of this will become more well known under the incoming seventh ray. And when the spiritual light flames forth, the Temple of Solomon rocks, reels, and disintegrates. So the flaming forth of the light. Well, you know, we can see that even with our little experiment having to do with magnifying glass, a burning glass, and at first it's light, then it's heat, then it's flame. So we see how the light can turn to flame. And this is one of the methods, building internally under law and rule and regulation, a light body called the Shekinah. It's a shrine, it's a holy place. And the Temple of Solomon, beautifully constructed now, I suppose. I don't know if there's such a thing as beautiful causal bodies and not so beautiful causal bodies or egoic lotuses. Maybe the seventh ray type builds a egoic lotus in some kind of stunning exactitude. You know, unless we can see these things, we're not going to know. But we can imagine that the building process is very precise. Rocks, reels, and disintegrates, which is in a way a kind of a first ray action. We'll see more and more people rocking and reeling and disintegrating in this age, accompanied by the seventh ray cycle, and Aquarius being such a seventh ray sign, both orthodoxly and hierarchically, veiled by the moon. We'll see this happening. One more thing I wanted to say, but I seem to have dropped it. Well, you know, there are a number of ways the causal body is destroyed, and usually the spiritual triad gets into the act, but within the atomic triangle of mental unit, astral, permanent atom, and mental physical permanent atom, a source of destruction is found with that whirling of that particular triangle. So you might say the Temple of Solomon is being hit from all sides, but the methods of destruction are different. Well, we're not in that position yet where we're going to be thinking about, I mean, I talked to a guy who said, well, you know, I have destroyed my causal body. Okay. When people are so convinced it's got to be some kind of compensation, you know, it was a good person and all that, but the individual was really convinced that he had destroyed his causal body and was now a master, you know, a junior master, whatever, a fine person. But for whatever reason, I think holding on to that illusion, it is the study of the law and the consequent comprehension by the man of how that law is wielded and why. When you really meet a seventh ray type, they can be pretty stiff about this, pretty unbending, you know. They really want to follow the rules. Maybe that's a little different from the first ray approach to the planet Uranus, where you kind of make up the rules yourself, or at least pay attention to your own archetype so it looks to others as if you are making up the rules, when instead you are adhering to the archetype. So it is then the definite application of that law. Law is the big word here. When you look at a great lawmaker like Hammurabi, or maybe the Manu, the laws of Manu, you know, you realize the first and seventh ray have to be really prominent. It is then the definite application of that law to the body of causes so as to render it needless and thus effect its shattering. Here I would, you know, I could use a little red. I just wish I had more colors at my disposal. Maybe someone will teach me how to do that. But I just can't find them right now. I do need a good orange. And I need a deeper purple. I've got red, blue, and green. Yellow is okay. But orange and a deeper purple, they are missing. Emancipation is the result, at least emancipation into the triad and then eventually into the monad. And the man frees himself from the three worlds, all 21 subplanes, not just the lower 18. Many occultists are coming in on this ray at this time and to continue the liberating process. I think I know a few, and it's just natural for them. Psychism is also natural for them. And they really do obey the rules. And it's just built into them to do so. There is a book out about a process. Is it the secret process or whatever of Abremelin the mage? And that mage was working for months to prepare one act of magical approach. Well, he had to be on the seventh ray to do that. Many of us couldn't tolerate that kind of long preparation. It is the method that leads a man to liberation through the understanding of the intelligent application of the law to his own life. He knows how to draw that circle. He knows how to close the pentagram. He won't operate with an open pentagram that would make him vulnerable, and to the ameliorating of conditions in the body of humanity, because, you know, so many of these seventh ray types are going to straighten things out down here, and they will arrange for financial amelioration. A certain group of first degree initiates on the seventh ray will do that, DK tells us. And to the ameliorating of conditions in the body of humanity, interesting, because the body is associated with the seventh ray, thus making the man a server, a true practical server of the race. A true practical server of the race. Well, I imagine that, and as we come back, those of us who are older, in our next incarnation, we're going to see more and more of these people. Strangely, for Master DK, he only had two seventh race souls in his group, and neither one of them really succeeded. One did not succeed because of extreme overstimulation, and I think that person had a sixth ray personality. And I'm trying to, I mean, he did also talk to someone who was transferring off the second ray onto the seventh ray. I did have it in my mind. There were two third ray souls. One of them sort of succeeded, the other stayed with it, but didn't really succeed. And who is that other seventh ray soul? Well, you know, one of them had, I think, even a first ray monad, and the degree of overstimulation was just too much. Ah, coming to me, maybe. Yeah, there was an artist whose rays were 7 and 1, and no doubt ray 4 in the mind. And she did not succeed because she succumbed to the glamour of the free and independent soul. And when people succumb to that glamour, they're really thinking about the free and independent personality. I have noticed that so many of the pretentious first ray monads, great though they are in other ways, are not really first ray monads. They are first ray personalities pretending to be first ray monads without even knowing they're pretending. They're so caught up, you know, in that first ray personality. So yeah, one seventh ray soul kind of was stopped because of extreme agitation and overstimulation, and the other one maybe didn't get a chance to apply her seventh ray soul as it could have been because her first ray personality blocked it. So I did remember, after all, thank goodness, when you find yourself forgetting things, you know, well, it's either age or you're not supposed to remember at the moment. Two six-ray souls, neither succeeded, one a little more than the other. Two third-ray souls, success was partial. Two seventh-ray souls, neither succeeded. No fourth-ray souls, no fifth-ray souls. When it, you know, I'm talking about DK's group for education. He is kind of ashram, you know. Did not succeed, those different types. And first ray souls and second ray souls, yes. Though not all of them succeeded, so many of them did. You know, you're kind of left with a withering, how can it be? But by the time it was all over, the 50 had been boiled down to about 8 who were making a success of things. And thus it was that the pressure of working under a master, even though it was a mediated pressure coming through Alice Bailey, you can only imagine what she had to deal with as the intermediary between these two, so often being accused of that which actually DK originated. The first and secondary souls did by and large succeed, and it was they who are the constituents of most occult groups today, DK tells us. Now, one of the six ray souls who most definitely, interesting though he was and dedicated, who did not succeed, was sometimes called a second ray soul by DK. He was a psychologist and the head of an ashram, and the big job there, he was a first ray monad, I do believe, and the big job there was to transfer from the sixth ray to the second in his soul nature, and even come into range of influence by the first ray, which I believe was his monadic ray. But he just was too addicted to the sixth ray. I mention him a lot because I hope that's not me, you know. Not a first ray monad, of course, but still, you know, addiction to the old sixth ray can be problematic, hanging on to that which should have been outlived. And, you know, sort of the definition of evil as the adherence to that which should have been outlived. So here we are on page 19, and DK gives us the signal and says that should suffice for today. And we go up to, you know, I like to do this because otherwise I get lost. I love this little book because I find it to be providing information not provided anyplace else. This is letter 3. Yeah. And it is beginning on page 13. And it goes up to page 19. So we have actually been with this for quite a while. As I say, my daughter called in the minute of the whole thing. You probably got a shot of her there. But, you know, to go back and try to eliminate all that, it's just, for me, an exercise in futility and a waste of time. So you just have to say hi to Heidi as she comes on. She's doing a great job in this field along the secondary line. Right. So, from 13 to 19. And now I'll move this down and we'll see when we continue, if we continue today. I'd love to just continue around the clock. You know, there's that old sixth-ray fanaticism. I just love to go and go. But you don't live forever. And as the Tibetan humorously says, the body begins to creak a bit. So you have to know when to stop. So this is the end of, am I correct here? I hope I am. This is the end. Is this program 5? Oh my goodness, I may have made a dire mistake. Well, you can probably turn me off right now because I'm just going to kind of go on and try to figure out where that mistake is. Matter of fact, I'll suspend for a moment. Yes, well, okay, this is the way it is, and we've finished with program 5. And today we are beginning with program 6, and it will be concerning the ray of the personality to which a teacher must attend when assigning meditation. I get ahead of myself here and wish that I was farther along in the process than I am. But this is a long program, and I think there'll be plenty to think about. And then this ray of the personality with its practical illustration, And then we have another one. Let's see if the karmic condition of the threefold man. That's another section about the assigning of meditation. And we have here also, very interesting, it's just so technically on. It gives us a chance to really see with all precision what has to be accomplished. This is going to be a long, one of these very long programs. I can't even imagine that I can complete it in one. And then we'll get on with the specific gravity and content of the causal body. So anyway, our next work will be on the sixth program. Okay. Yeah, that's where it'll be. Okay, many blessings, lots of love, everybody. And, well, you know, it goes without saying to study deeply, meditate deeply, and use what you have to improve the conditions around you, if that, you know, that's what we want to do. Okay, so stop the recording.